One to discharge, individual charge, teacher non governable voice. This is the 21st chapter of the 9th canto. There are 24 chapters in this canto. The final chapter in this canto is entitled Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because for the last several chapters we've been tracing the dynasties of the moon coming from Soma. Before that, much of the 9th canto dealt with the dynasties coming from the sun, the Surya dynasty. And in this dynasty of Soma, in one of the branches of it, Lord Krishna himself, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, takes his birth. He takes his birth in the dynasty from Yadu. So we are moving closer and closer and closer. In the chapter that we shall read today, we will hear about one incredible king who was born, and his name is Runti Dev. Raise your hand if you've heard of Maharaj Runti Dev. Yes? No? 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 Hair? Remember, when we're hearing about Runti Dev, remember that he's a king. When we usually think of a king, we can take that conceptual picture and see how that fits with Runti Dev. There are very few purports from now until the final chapter. Sukadev Goswami said, because Bharadvaja was delivered by the Maru demigods, he was known as Vitata. The son of Vitata was Manu, and from Manu came five sons. We had Katra, Jai, Mahavirya, Nara, and Garga. Of these five, the one known as Nara had a son named Sankriti. So one after another, all these dynasties and descendants of king after king will be described. And perhaps starting in this chapter, but in the next chapter, we'll start hearing some familiar names already coming from towards Krishna's time. And those names are famous in the Mahabharata, they are mentioned in the Bhagavad Gita, but gradually. O Maharaj Prickett, descendant of Pandu. Sankriti had two sons named Guru and Runti Dev. Runti Dev is famous in both this world and the next, for he is glorified not only in human society, but also in the society of demigods. So what quality is Runti Dev going to possess that causes him to be glorified both amongst humans and higher beings? Higher beings are demigods. They are very subtle in consciousness. Humans glorify one type of being, but those same qualities may not be those that the demigods consider glorifiable. So let's hear about this. Runti Dev. Runti Dev, he's the king, never endeavored to earn anything. He would enjoy whatever he got by the arrangement of providence. But when guests came, he would give them everything. Thus he underwent considerable suffering along with the members of his family. When we usually think of someone who was exalted, or someone who was Krishna conscious, or exalted in that way in Krishna consciousness, we don't, at least I don't, consider, I don't tend to think of them as undergoing sufferings. We think that due to their exalted consciousness, there are no difficulties for them. And Perhaps we even tend to think in a perhaps childish way that if I become a devotee, then everything will be like, will just be idealistic, and everything will happen just according to my plan. And as we learn, as we grow older in Krishna consciousness in life, that our plan may not be at all synchronized with either Krishna's plan or even our karma, our destiny, our fate. So a Krishna conscious person, one can say that he has no suffering on one level, but another level, it can look like he suffers tremendously. His wealth and his specific ability to avoid suffering has nothing to do with the external circumstances. There is a depth that is unshakable in him. And that unshakable depth is his Krishna consciousness. But that depth doesn't come easy. It's not just by doing something on the superficial level that we become deep in Krishna consciousness, as we'll see that Ranti Dev was deep in some of his qualities. No, if we're shallow, if our tendency is towards shallowness, when the winds of our life blow and the waves of the ocean of our life start to get somewhat tumultuous, if we are not deep in the ocean of our Krishna consciousness, we will be buffered here and there and here and there and here and there, just like everyone else. But not like anyone else, meaning a person who doesn't value the spiritual, who doesn't really know the nature of the material world, the nature of Krishna consciousness. He will be reminded, especially if he is fortunate, by Krishna that this is an indication that you are not deep. What will you do if you get angry and disturbed when this thing happens or that thing happens? Now, what are you going to do at the time of death? Are you going to be able to accept that as Krishna's mercy? Are you going to be able to focus your mind on Krishna at such a time? Or will you be thinking, oh, it's this one's fault, it's that one's fault? Or will you be thinking that only if I had this, and only if I had that, and only if I had told this one that, and that one that, and only if I could have gotten even with him just one more time? Only if, and then you can fill in the blank, and then I'd be able to focus my mind on Krishna. Well, at the time of death, this just this is the test of how deep we've actually gotten. And sometimes, at least I could say for myself, when I fail so many tests in my life, the thought of what's going to happen when everything that I usually hold on to as my security goes, if I thought about that seriously, I'd be terrified. So the tests, the assessments we get in life, the difficulties we get in life, they can be seen in this light as Krishna giving us the results of how we're doing at this particular time and place. And then we know, oh, I'm doing okay, or I have to deepen myself. Because really, again, how we are doing will be tested. Every one of us will have our ultimate final examination at the time of death. Not final in the sense of the only one, but final in the sense of the final in this life and how well we've proceeded in fulfilling the mission of our life, which is really to become deeply, firmly, irrevocably attached to Krishna and nothing of this material world, including the mental conceptions that we may have of what life is supposed to be. And oh, life is meant, especially in Kali Yuga, it's meant to unsettle us. That we can be assured of. And it is not by becoming or on the superficial level of devotee that the unsettlement will stop. But when we actually become devotees, Vaishnavas, actually become Vaishnavas, actually sadguna samatityaitan brahmabhuyaya kaupate, when we are situated above the modes of material nature, situated at Krishna's lotus feet, on that platform, then bhakti yoga, sagunan samatityaitan, when above the modes of material nature, situated on the Brahman platform, that's when Krishna consciousness, then we are actually devotees. So now we are pushing to try to get to that level. So listen to Ranti Dev. He never endeavored to earn anything. He would enjoy whatever he got by the arrangements of providence. So I can imagine if I took that up, I never endeavored to earn anything and just accept whatever came to me as ordained by providence, I'd have this dream, oh, when I do something so romantically wonderful, it's fully dependent on Krishna, then people will start bringing the platters of prasadam and the boxes full of money so I can have everything that my petty mind desires. But no, it doesn't work like that. When we depend on Krishna, we place ourselves in his hands, accepting whatever he gives us as his mercy. That is advanced Krishna consciousness. Divate o mukti pade sadayava. That consciousness will allow us to go back to Godhead. But when guest came, for himself he accepted nothing. But when guest came, not accepted nothing, he accepted whatever Krishna gave him. But when guest came, he would give them everything. Thus he underwent considerable suffering along with the members of his family. Indeed, he and his family members shivered for want of food and water. There was no romance in it. There was no fairy tale in it. Sometimes they were shivering due to lack of food. And not only himself, but imagine his family members. So someone may be able to tolerate themselves, but for a king, a husband, the father, to see his family members in that condition. Yet, Ranti Dev always remained sober. What a word to use. Sober. In other words, he wasn't intoxicated. He saw things as they were. He saw Krishna in the circumstance. Once, after fasting for 48 days, in the morning, Ranti Dev received some water and some foodstuffs made with milk and ghee. But when he and his family were about to eat, a Brahmin guest arrived. Because Ranti Dev perceived the presence of the Supreme Godhead everywhere and in every living entity, so he saw that Krishna has come to me in this form, not in the sense of that the person, the Brahman who came was Krishna, but in the sense that Krishna has arranged it. This is Krishna's mercy, Krishna's arrangement. He hadn't eaten for 48 days. So he perceived Krishna's mercy in everything. So he received the guest with faith and respect and gave him a share of the food. The Brahmin guest ate his share and then went away. Prabhupada in the purport, he describes how because Ranti Dev saw Krishna everywhere and everything, it didn't mean that this Brahmin was Krishna, was God. But no, he saw Krishna's mercy. And he saw that Krishna was part, excuse me, that the Brahman was a part of Krishna, was a soul. There's a soul, a part of Krishna. Just like when you see your brother or your sister, you see them not only as an individual, but a part of a family. So thereafter, this is text 7, having divided the remaining food with his relatives, Rantidev was just about to eat his own share when a Sudra guest arrived. So a Brahmin was one thing, an exalted member of society to be respected, but now a Sudra, a lower class person, arrives. Seeing the Sudra in relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, King Rantidev gave him also a share of the food. Prabhupada's purport. Because King Rantidev saw everyone as part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never distinguished between the Brahmin and the Sudra, the poor and the rich. Such equal vision is called Samadarshana, Pandita Samadarshana. One who has actually realized that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is situated in everyone's heart and that every living being is part of the Lord, such a person does not make distinction between the Brahman and the Sudra. The Bhagavad Gita verse 517 will be quoted in the next or one of the following purports. Oh, it's actually in the last one. Vidya Vinaya Sampane. Brahmani Gavini. Brahmani means a Brahman, Gavi. Cow, Hasti, means an elephant. A learned person, Suni Chaiva Swapake, he sees, even a dog eater, all these entities, he sees them, a pundit sees them equally. Not equally is that you might as well embrace the elephant in the same way you'd embrace the Brahmin. No, not equally in that sense, but equally in the sense of being part of Krishna. So he treats them equally, without discrimination, but with intelligence. When the Sudra went away, the Brahman, the Sudra, 48 days fasting, another guest arrived surrounded by dogs and said, "O King, I and my company of dogs are very hungry. Please give us something to eat." With great respect, King Rantidev offered the balance of the food to the dogs and the master of the dogs who had come as guests. The king offered them all respects and obeisances. Thereafter, only the drinking water remained, and there was only enough to satisfy one person. But when the king was just about to drink it, a chandala, a dog eater, appeared and said, "O king, although I am low born, kindly give me some drinking water." Aggrieved at hearing the pitiable words, when you hear the word aggrieved, the first word in the sentence, the first thing I immediately thought of was aggrieved that he's asking me for my water. But no, aggrieved at hearing the pitiable words of the poor, fatigued chandala, Maharaj Rantidev spoke the following nectarian words. He said, "I do not pray to the Supreme Personality of Godhead for the 8 perfections of mystic yoga, nor for salvation from repeated birth and death. I want only to stay amongst all the living entities and suffer all distresses on their behalf so that they may be freed from suffering. By offering my water to maintain the life of this poor chandala, one who is struggling to live, I have been freed from all hunger, thirst, fatigue, trembling of the body, moroseness, distress, lamentation, and illusion." Prabhupada has two short purports to 11 and 12. We read 11 and 12 and 13. Maharaj Rantidev's words were like amrita or nectar, and therefore, aside from rendering bodily service to an aggrieved person, by his words alone, the king could save the life of anyone who might hear him. Vasudev Datta made a similar statement to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, requesting the Lord to liberate all living entities in his presence. Vasudev Datta submitted that if they were unfit to be liberated, he himself would take all their sinful reactions and suffer personally so that the Lord might deliver them. A Vaishnava is therefore described as being para dukkha dukhi, very much aggrieved by the suffering of others. As such, a Vaishnava engages in activities for the real welfare of human society. This is Vaishnava, and try to imitate or act as if we were Vaishnavas on this level without actually being on the transcendental platform, and see if you can last 2 minutes. Yet, this is the ideal. This is what it actually means to be a Vaishnava. The gopis of Vrindavan, Srimati Radharani, I believe in the final chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, describes the mood of what it means to be following in the footsteps of the gopis of Vrindavan. She says that if it causes me, paraphrasing, unlimited amount of suffering to save Krishna from one moment of suffering, I'm easily, happily willing to make that sacrifice. In other words, what love is, what Vaishnava means servant of Vishnu, devotee means servant of Krishna, lover of Krishna. What it means to be a lover of Krishna means that you love Krishna. Not place oneself in the center of one's existence. If we actually are able to place Krishna and Krishna's pleasure in the center of existence, that is called Bhagavad Dharma, Krishna consciousness. And then we are eligible to be promoted to Goloka Vrindavan. And as long as we place ourselves in the center, that means false ego, because our real identity is this. And those with false ego must remain in the material world. So a very exalted devotee got a very difficult test, and the exalted devotee passed that test. So on one hand, by hearing this, we should think, we naturally will think, this is ideal, and secondarily, we should also think very humbly that I'm a fallen soul, unless we happen to be on this level. Trinada peace and Ichena, Tarota peace, and that will enable us to chant properly. Longing for the ideal and humility. Text 14. Having spoken thus, King Rantidev, although on the verge of death because of thirst, so it wasn't romantically, oh, everything is wonderful here, please take this Prabhu, please die. No, he was on the verge of death. He fasted from water even for so long. He gave his own portion of water to the Chanda without hesitation, for the king was naturally very kind and sober. There the word sober is used again. Dira pulkasha yadadat diro nishaga kuruna, merciful, O king. Demigods like Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, who can satisfy all materially ambitious men by giving them the rewards that they desire, then manifested their own identities before King Rantidev, for it was they who had presented themselves as the Brahman, Sudra, Chandal, and so on. King Rantidev had no ambition to enjoy material benefits from the demigods. He offered them obeisances, but because he was factually attached to Lord Vishnu, Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he fixed his mind at Lord Vishnu's lotus feet. Srila Narottama Prabhupada's purport, Srila Narottama Das Thakur sings, Anye devasraya nai tomara kohinu bai e bhakti paramakara. From Prem Bhakti Chandrika. If one wants to become a pure devotee of the Supreme Lord, one should not hanker to take benedictions from the demigods. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, kamas tarastaya ritagyana papadyante anya devata. Those who be fooled by the illusion of the material energy worship gods other than the Supreme Personality of Godhead because they want things other than his service. Therefore, although Rantidev was personally able to see Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, he did not hanker to take material benefits from them. So to be free from the hankering, from material desires, to serve other living entities like that, one has to be free from material desires, and one has to be very strongly fixed in the desire to serve Krishna. So rather than taking material benefits from them or desiring that, he fixed his mind upon Lord Vasudeva and rendered devotional service unto him. Who in this world, or even in this room, does not experience tests from Krishna? Look what the demigods have tested. Rantideva. But who doesn't experience tests? So much that we think, I'm not going to pass this one. So heavy. How can I focus my mind on Krishna and do what will please him? That's the art. Pleasing him. Not putting myself in the center. Who is willing to sacrifice to please him? That's what it means to be a devotee. But unless we, if we don't pass the test, and I've experienced this in my own life, if we fail the test, what do we have to do? We get the test again in a different form, maybe, but we get the same test again later in our life. But from my experience, they don't get easier either, they get harder. That's what I've experienced. Who is willing to sacrifice for what one thinks one will please oneself, for what will please Krishna? Who is willing to do that? Every pure devotee is willing to do that. And that's very simple price that it pays. The cost, very simple. Simple to understand, difficult to do. And we get our test perfectly molded to our needs, individual testing. So rather than asking material benefits from the demigods, Rantideva fixed his mind upon Lord Vasudeva and rendered devotional service unto him. So it was only in his mind at that time he was serving. This is the sign of pure devotee, of a pure devotee whose heart is not adulterated by material desires. What does adulterated mean? Adulteration. It's an old-fashioned way of saying something. What is it saying? Adulterated.
To alter.
Not exactly altered or changed. Yeah, contaminated or mixed with. Another way that Prabhupada uses it says unalloyed devotee. Unalloyed means pure. There is nothing mixed with it. So contaminated, yes. There is nothing in there, in the heart, except the desire to please Krishna. That is ideal. We better learn this, because we're going to hear about it very soon. We're going to go on to the 10th canto, possibly. Either that or we'll go to the 11th canto. I haven't decided yet. But we're going to watch the residents of Vrindavan, the residents of Dwarka, the residents of Mathura, who love Krishna, deal with them. And they all have unadulterated, unalloyed love for him. Everything is done for his pleasure. And Krishna, on the other hand, Bhaktivatsalya Atma Parjanta Vedanyata. He is acting just for their pleasure. That's how Krishna reciprocates. So, if we keep this in mind, then when we reach the 10th canto and hear pastimes of Krishna, then it will be astounding and awesome what is going on. Because what is going on is an exchange of rasa. An exchange of love, bringing the highest ecstasy. It is not a mythological tale, not a cute story that we giggle at, even though sometimes we might laugh, because sometimes the pastimes may be funny. But it is something that is incredibly awesome when we understand the mind or even glimpse at an understanding of what pure devotional service is in this mood that causes Krishna to wander around the fields of Vrindavan, herd the cows. Everything is being caused by Krishna's love for his devotees who love him so much. And that's what we watch, the hearts of the devotees as they're dealing with Krishna, how Krishna is dealing with them. And then we'll understand something about love and what it takes and pure devotional service. And that prema pramatta mahan, that is the goal. And therefore Mahaprabhu said, Aradyo Bhagavan Brijesha Tanayo Tadhamam Vrindavanam Ramya Kachiru Pasana Vradu Vadu Vagena Vakalpita Srimad Bhagavate Pramanam Amalam Prema Pramartamahan Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu Matamidam Tatapitanapada. That if we want to see the most sparkling exhibition of pure devotional service, we should watch the dealings of the residents of Vrindavan, especially the gopis of Vrindavan, with the son of Nanda Maharaj. This is the highest. There's nothing higher than this. Prema Pramartaman, this is the great goal. The love, that love is that which can be achieved. That is the limit of what can be achieved. And where do we, and the highest authority is to understand this is Srimad Bhagavatam. Puranam, Amalam, the pure Purana. This is the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Ranti Dev fixed his mind upon Lord Vasudev and rendered devotional service unto him. This is a sign of a pure devotee whose heart is not adulterated by material desires. Anya vilasita sanya jnana kamara navritam anakulena krishna shilanam bhaktutama. One should render, this is Srila Rupa Goswami's definition of pure devotional service. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. O Maharaj Prakrit, because King Ranti Dev was a pure devotee, always Krishna conscious and free from all material desires, the Lord's illusory energy, Maya, could not exhibit herself before him. On the contrary, for him, Maya entirely vanished, exactly like a dream. A dream vanishes when we wake up. So Maya vanishes when we wake up to who we actually are, our relationship with Krishna. And we can ask, well, unless Maya vanishes, how can I wake up to relationship with Krishna? And if Maya vanishes when I've woken up my relationship with Krishna, how can I awaken my relationship with Krishna unless Maya vanishes? So you get caught in that. And what's the answer? You always say that. You think that's the answer for everything, to chant Hare Krishna. Okay, we accept that answer. But step by step, as we give ourselves to Krishna, Maya vanishes. And as Maya vanishes, we can give ourselves to Krishna. Step by step by step. We expect it to happen like, you know, overnight or something like that. But the disease of Maya is cured gradually, step by step. As it is said, Krishna Surya Sama Maya Haya Andaka Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Maya Adhikar. Just as there is no chance that darkness can exist in the sunshine, in a pure Krishna conscious person there can be no existence of Maya. The Lord Himself says in the Bhagavad Gita, Daivyesha Gunamayi, you know the rest of that one? Daivyesha Gunamayi, Mama Maya Diratya, very difficult to overcome this Maya, Mamei vaye prapadyante, but for one who surrenders unto me, maya me tantantite. Maya goes. So surrender to Krishna. Oh, surrender to Krishna means putting Krishna in the center, pleasing him, making it our desire to please him. Simple way to understand surrender. This divine energy of mind, translation of Bhagavad Gita 7.14, consisting of the three modes of material nature, is difficult to overcome. But those who have surrendered unto me can easily cross beyond it. Prabhupada continues, if one wants to be free from the influences of Maya, the illusory energy, raise your hand if you'd prefer to be freed from the influences of Maya. Okay. Did anyone? Oh, you're too busy. Jagtuni, to raise your hand. Okay. I want to make sure I'm talking to everyone. Yes. Well, this is all you have to do. If one wants to be free from the influence of Maya, the illusory energy, one must become Krishna conscious and always keep Krishna prominent within the core of his heart. Prominent. That means also dominant. That Krishna has to be prominent and dominant in our hearts. Krishna conscious, we have to be conscious of him. Not that we won't be conscious of other things necessarily, but we will see those things through the dominance and predominance of Krishna consciousness. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord advises that one always think of him. Man mana bhava mad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. In this way, by always being Krishna-minded or Krishna-conscious, one can surpass the influence of Maya, mayam etan tarantite. Because Rantidev was Krishna-conscious, he was not under the influence of the illusory energy. The word svapnarat is significant in this connection because in the material world, the mind is absorbed in materialistic activities. That is the business of the mind, to be absorbed in materialistic activities, self-centered activities. As soon as Maya is there, self-centeredness appears. And as soon as self-centeredness, false ego appears, then materialism appears. Because in the material world, the mind is absorbed in materialistic activities, and again, that's the very purpose of the mind. When one is asleep, many contradictory activities appear in one's dream. When one awakens, however, these activities automatically merge into the mind. Similarly, as long as one is under the influence of the material energy, he makes many plans and schemes. But when one is Krishna conscious, such dreamlike plans automatically disappear. 18. All those who followed the principles of King Rantidev were totally favored by his mercy and became pure devotees, attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayan. Thus they all became the best of yogis. Purport. The best yogis or mystics are the devotees, as confirmed by the Lord himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Yoginam api savesham madgiten antaratmanam sharavan bhajate yomam samayuktatamomataha. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. So when we hear about Rantidev and so many personalities in the Bhagavatam, we should hold that as ideal, and if we are not up to that standard, we should become humble. And then the next question is, well, how should I become up to that standard? Should I just say, from now on, I'm going to be like Rantidev? Just let us know, and we'll come over. Every time you're going to eat, we'll come over. We'll all come over. No, what we need to do is get a specific, once we establish that we're fallen souls and that this is yet, nevertheless, this is ideal, and we're not envious or inimical of this being the ideal despite our fallen condition, then we need a prescription on how we should personally proceed. And that is given by the Guru and the Vaishnavas, and of course Shastra too. We need a specific personal prescription of what should we do, because if we try to imitate, what to speak of Rantideva, others, we may end up running very quickly in the opposite direction. Or if we just think, oh, I'm so full and I can't do that, and we might end up being so going in the opposite direction in another way. So we need something practical prescribed for us. Of all yogis, he who always abides in me with great faith, worshipping me in transcendental loving service, is most intimately united with me in yoga and is the highest of all. The best yogi is he who constantly thinks of the Supreme Personality of Godhead within the core of his heart. Because Rantideva was the king, the chief executive in the state, all the residents of the state became devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Narayan by the king's transcendental association. This is the influence of a pure devotee. If there is one pure devotee, his association can create hundreds and thousands of pure devotees. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has said that a Vaishnava is meritorious in proportion to the number of devotees he has created. A Vaishnava becomes superior not simply by jugglery of words, but by the number of devotees he has created for the Lord. Here the word Ranti Deva Anuvartina indicates that Rantideva's officers, friends, relatives, and subjects all became first-class Vaishnavas by his association. In other words, Rantideva is confirmed herein to be a first-class devotee or Mahabhagavat. Mahat Sevam Dwaramahur Vimukte. One should render service to such Mahatmas, for then one will automatically achieve the goal of liberation. Srila Narottama Das Thakur has also said, Chariya Vaishnava Seva Nistara Payecha Keva. One cannot be liberated by his own effort, but if one becomes subordinate to a pure Vaishnava, the door to liberation is open. That is the end of the story of Rantideva. Very few verses. From Gaga, that was this one of the, I think that was one of his brothers, if I'm not mistaken, one of his brothers. Bharadwaj had some sons, and Vitala was Manu. From Manu came five sons, Jaya and Garga. Of these five, one known as Nara had a son named Sukriti. So he was one of the sons of, this Garga was one of the sons of, one of different lineage from Rantideva, but from sharing his common forefather. And his son was Gargya. Although Gargya was a Kshatriya, there came from him a generation of Brahmanas. From Mahavirya came a son named Dhritachaya, whose sons were Tayaruni, Kavi, and Pushkaruni. Although these sons of Dhritachaya took birth in a dynasty of Kshatriyas, they too attained the position of Brahmanas. Brihachatra had a son named Hasti, who established the city of Hastinapur, down in Delhi. From King Hasti came three sons named Ajamida, Dvidamida, and Purumida. The next chapter, by the way, is the descendants of Ajamida, one of the sons of King Hasti, who was a descendant of Gargya. The descendants of Ajamida, headed by Priyameda, all achieved the position of Brahmana. So Prabhupada's purport here speaks about how it is not by birth but by qualification that one is to be considered a Brahman, clearly from the verses of the Bhagavad Gita. From Ajamida came a son named Brihadishu. From Brihadishu came a son named Brihadhanu. From Brihadhanu a son named Brihadkaya. And from Brihadkaya a son named Jayadratha. The son of Jayadratha was Vishada, and his son was Senajit. The son of Senajit was Ruchirasva, Drihadhanu, Kasya, and Vatsya. The son of Ruchirasva was Para, and the son of Para were Prithusena and Nipa. Nipa had 100 sons. King Nipa got his son named Brahmadatta through the womb of his wife, Kritvi, who was the daughter of Sukadev. He had a daughter? Sukadev was a lifelong brahmachari. How did he have a daughter? That will be explained by Prabhupada in his purport. And Brahmadatta, who was a great yogi, begot a son named Vishvakchena through the womb of his wife Saraswati. Prabhupada's purport. The sukha mentioned here is different from the Sukadev Goswami who spoke Srimad Bhagavatam. Sukadev Goswami, the son of Vyasadeva, is described in great deal in the Brahma Bhavarta Purana. There it is said that Vyasadeva maintained the daughter of Jabali as his wife, and that after they performed penances together for many years, he placed his seed in her womb. The child remained in the womb of his mother for 12 years. And when the father asked the son to come out, the son replied that he would not come out unless he was completely liberated from the influence of Maya. Vyasadeva then assured the child that he would not be influenced by Maya. But the child did not believe his father, for the father was still attached to the wife and children, to his wife and children. Vyasadeva then went to Dwarka and informed the personality of Godhead about his problem. And the personality of Godhead, at Vyasadeva's request, went to Vyasadeva's cottage, where he assured the child in the womb that he would not be influenced by Maya. Thus assured, the child came out. But he immediately went away as a Pariprajakacharja. When the father, very much aggrieved, began to follow his saintly boy, therefore the Sukakanya, or daughter of Sukadev, mentioned in this verse, is the daughter of the duplicate, or imitation Sukadev. The original Sukadev was a lifelong brahmachari. Interesting. Text 26. Following the instructions of the great sage Jaigasavya, Vishvakchena compiled an elaborate description of the mystic yoga system. From Vishvakchena, Udakchena was born, and from Udakchena, Balata. All these sons are known as the descendants of Brihadishu. The son of Dvimita was known as Yavanara, whose son was Kritiman. The son of Kritiman was well known as Satyadriti. From Satyadriti came a son named Dridhanemi, who became the father of Suparsva. From Suparsva came a son named Sumati. So there's information about some of these, I believe, in the Mahabharata and the different Puranas. From Sumati came Sanatiman, from Sanatiman Kriti, who achieved mystic power from Brahma and taught six samhitas of the Pratyasam verses of the Samaveda. The son of Kriti was Nipa, the son of Nipa, Udgrayudha, the son of Udgrayudha, Chema, the son of Chemya, Suvira, and the son of Suvira, Ripunjai. From Ripunjai came a son named Bahurat. Purumidha was sonless. Ajamida had a son named Nila by his wife known as Nalini, and the son of Nila was Shanti. The son of Shanti was Sushanti. The son of Sushanti was Puruja. The son of Puruja was Arka. From Arka came Bharmyasva. From Bharmyasva came five sons: Mudgala, Yavinar, Brihad Vishva, Kampila, and Sanjay. Bharmishva prayed to his sons, "O my sons, please take charge of my five states, for you are quite competent to do so." Thus his five sons were known as the Panchalas. From Mudgala came a dynasty of Brahmanas known as Mudgalya. So this is the Panchalas, who was known as Panchali, Jopati. So we're getting closer. Mudgala, the son of Bharmyasva, had twin sons, one male and the other female. The male child was named Divodas and the female Ahalya. Ahalya is famous in the Mahabharata, but I can't remember the story of Ahalya. Very famous. From the womb of Ahalya, by the semen of her husband Gotam, came a son named Sataran. The son of Sataran was Satadriti, who was expert in archery, and the son of Satadriti was Saradvan, When Saradvan met Urvasi, he discharged semen, which fell on a clump of sar grass. From this semen were born two all-auspicious babies, one male and the other female. While Maharaj Shantanu was on a hunting excursion, he saw the male and female children lying in the forest, and out of compassion he took them home. Consequently, the male child was known as Kripa, and the female child was named Kripi. Kripi later married the wife of Dronacharya. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th canto, 21st chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Dynasty of Bala. I'm going to read some of the next chapter. This is chapter 22. Sukadeva Goswami said, O king, the son of Devodas was Mitrayu, and from Mitrayu came four sons named Chayavan, Sudas, Sahadev, and Somak. Somak was the father of Jantu. Somak had 100 sons, of whom the youngest was Prashat. From Prashat was born King Jupiter, who was opulent in all supremacy. So Jupiter's two children were, famous children were, Jupiter and Justadumna. From Maharaj Jupiter, Jupiter was born. Maharaj Jupiter also had many sons headed by Justadumna. From Justadumna came a son named Justaketu. All these personalities are known as the descendants of Bhamyasva, or the dynasty of Panchala. Another son of Ajamita was known as Riksha. From Riksha came a son named Samvaran. From Samvaran, through the womb of his wife Tapati, the daughter of the sun god, came Kuru, the king of Kurukshetra. Kuru had four sons, Parikshi, Sudanu, Janu, and Nishad. From Sudanu, Suhotra was born. From Suhotra, Chayavan. From Chayavan, Kriti was born. The son of Kriti were Uparicharavasu, and amongst his sons, headed by Brihadratta, was Kusumba, Matsya, Pratyagra, and Chedipa. All the sons of Upacharavasu became the ruler of the Chedi state. So who was a descendant of the ruler of the Chedi state? The king of Chedi was? Sisupal. Magadha is Charasandha. From Brihadratta, Kusagra was born. From Kusagra, Rishab, Sahitya. Son of Sahitya was Pushpavan, and the son of Pushpavan was Jahu. Through the womb of another wife, Brihadratta begot two halves of a son. When the mother saw those two halves, she rejected them. But later a she-demon named Jara playfully joined them and said, come to life, come to life. Thus the son named Jarasandha was born. So the personalities are taking their place. We shall hear of many of these in Mahabharata and in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam. From Jarasandha came a son named Sahadev. From Sahadev, Somapi. From Somati, Shutasrav. The son of Kuru, called Parikshi, had two sons. But the son of Kuru, called Janu, had a son named Surata. From Surata came Vidurata, from whom Savabhama was born. From Savabhama came Jayasen. From Jayasen, Radhika. From Radhika, Ayutayu. From Ayutayu came a son named Akrodhana. And his son was Devatiti. The son of Devatiti was Riksha. The son of Riksha was Dilip. And the son of Dilip was Pradeep. The sons of Pradeep were Devapi, Santanu, Balika. Devapi left the kingdom of his father and went to the forest. And therefore Santanu became the king. Santanu, who in his previous birth was known as Mahabisha, had the ability to transform anyone from old age to youth simply by touching that person with his hands. Because the king was able to make everyone happy for sense gratification, primarily by the touch of his hand, his name was Santanu. Once when there was no rainfall in the kingdom for 12 years, the king consulted his learnical Brahminical advisors, and they said, you are faulty for enjoying the property of your elder brother. For the elevation of your kingdom and home, you should return the kingdom to him. See, because his elder brother went to the forest named Devapi. When the Brahmana said this, Maharaj Santanu went to the forest. Because nowadays, if someone would say that, the problem is you've done something bad, O king, they'd kill him.
But Maharaj Santanu went to the forest and requested his elder brother Devapi to take charge of the kingdom, for it is the duty of a king to maintain his subjects. He thought, this is my prime duty, to make sure the kingdom flourishes. Previously, however, Santanu's minister Asvavara had instigated some brahmanas to induce Devapi to transgress the injunctions of the Vedas and thus make himself unfit for the post of ruler. So there was some politics. The brahmanas deviated Devapi from the path of the Vedic principles, and therefore when asked by Santanu, he did not agree to accept the post of ruler. On the contrary, he blasphemed the Vedic principles and therefore became fallen. Under the circumstances, Santanu again became the king, and Indra, being pleased, showered rains. Devapi later took to the path of mystic yoga to control his mind and senses, and went to the village named Kalapagram, where he is still living. After the dynasty of the moon god comes to an end in this age of Kali, Devapa, in the beginning of the next Satyuga, will reestablish the Soma dynasty in this world. From Balika, the brother of Santanu, came a son named Somadatta, who had three sons named Budi, Budhisrav, and Sal, all fought in the battle of Kurukshetra, all four. From Santanu, through the womb of his wife named Ganga, came Bhishma, the exalted self-realized devotee and the next governor. Bhishma Dev was the foremost of all warriors. When he defeated Lord Parsaram in a fight, Lord Parsaram was very satisfied with him. By the semen of Santanu in the womb of Satyavati, the daughter of a fisherman, Chitranga took birth. Chitranga, of whom Vichaviriya was the youngest brother, was killed by a Gandharva who was also named Chitrangada. Satyavati, before her marriage to Santanu, gave birth to the master authority of the Vedas, Vyasadeva, known as Krishna Dvaipayana, who was begotten by Parasamuni. From Vyasadev, I, Sukadev Goswami, was born, and from him I studied this great work of literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. The incarnation of Godhead Vyasadev, rejecting his disciples, headed by Pila, instructed Srimad Bhagavatam to me, because I was freed from all material desires. After Ambika and Ambilika, the two daughters of Kasiraj were taken away by force, Vichitavirya married them, but because he was too attached to these two wives, he had a heart attack and died of tuberculosis. Badarayana, Sri Vyasadeva, following the order of his mother, Satyavati, begot three sons, two by the womb of Ambika and Ambalika, the two wives of his brother Vichitavirya, and the third by Vichitavirya's maidservant. These sons were Dhritarashtra, Pandu, and Vidura. Prabhupada explains this beginning in the wife of the brother in the wife of his brother's wife, the beginning of a child that's forbidden in the age of Kali, along with horse sacrifices, cow sacrifices, acceptance of order of sannyas, and the offering of oblations to the forefather, and the man's begetting children, and his brother's wife, in the Brahma Purana. My dear King Prichit, your father Abhimanyu was born from the womb of Subhadra as the son of Arjuna. He was the conqueror, actually the grandson will be described later. He was the conqueror of all Atiratas, those who could fight with 1,000 charioteers. Abhimanyu, excuse me, was the son of Arjuna. From him, yes? Did I?
Yeah.
Rushing too fast. Okay, now from Yudhisthira came a son named Pratibinda. Am I okay? Okay. Dhritarashtra's wife Gandhari gave birth to 100 sons and one daughter. Okay. The oldest of the sons was Duryodhana, and the daughter's name was Dushala. Pandu was restrained from sexual life because of having been cursed by a sage, and therefore his three sons, Yudhisthira, Bhima, and Arjuna, were begotten through the womb of his wife Kunti by Dharmaraj, the demigod controlling wind, that's Vayu, and by the demigod controlling the rain, Indradev. Pandu's second wife, Madri, gave birth to Nakul and Sahadev, who were begotten by the two Aswini Kumaras. The five brothers, headed by Yudhisthira, begot five sons through the womb of Draupadi. These five sons were your uncles. From Yudhisthira, speaking to Cricket Raj, from Yudhisthira came a son named Prativinya. From Bhim came a son named Shrutasena. From Arjuna, a son named Shrutakirti. And from Nakul, a son named Satanik.
O king, the son of Sahadev was Shrutakarma. Furthermore, Yudhisthira and his brothers begot other sons and other wives. Yudhisthira begot a son named Devaka through the womb of Puravi, and Bhimasen begot a son named Gotakach through his wife Hidimbi, and a son named Saravagata through his wife Kali. Similarly, Sahadev had a son named Sahotra through his wife named Vijay, who was the daughter of the king of the mountains. So that Gotochka was very famous, a wonderful warrior in the Battle of Kurukshetra. Nakul begot a son named Naramitra through his wife named Karenumati. Similarly, Arjuna begot a son named Iravan through his wife known as Alupi, the daughter of the Nagas, and a son named Babubrahan by the womb of the princess of Manipur. Babubrahan became the adopted son of the king of Manipur. Prabhupada, in his purport to that verse, encourages the Manipur state. He says some of our devotees belong to the Manipur state. That's Srupa Damodar Maharaj. He encourages it to become a Krishna conscious state. It's always been a Vaishnava state. My dear King Prickett, your father Abhimanyu was born from the womb of Subhadra as the son of Arjuna. He was the conqueror of all Atitirtas, those who could fight with 1,000 charioteers. From him, by the womb of Uttara, the daughter of Viradraj, you were born, Virata. After the Kuru dynasty was annihilated in the Battle of Kurukshetra, you were also about to be destroyed by the Brahmastra, atomic weapon released by the son of Dronacharya, Swatama, but by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, you were saved from death. My dear king, your four sons, Janmanjaya, Shrutasena, Bhimasena, Ugrasena, are very powerful. Janmanjaya is the eldest. Because of your death by the Takshaka snake, your son Janmanjaya will be very angry and will perform a sacrifice to kill all the snakes in the world. After conquering throughout the world and after accepting Tura, the son of Kalas, as his priest, Janmanjaya will perform Aswamedha Yagyas, for which he will be known as Turaga Medhasat. The son of Janmanjaya, known as Shantanika, will learn from Yajnavalkya of the three Vedas and the art of performing ritualistic ceremonies. He will also learn the military art from Kripacharya and the transcendental science from the sage Shonaka. The son of Satanika will be Sahasranika, and from him will come the son named Ashwamedhaja. From Ashwamedhaja will come Ashwamakrishna, and his son will be Nemachakra. When the town of Hastinapur is inundated by the river, Nemachakra will live in the place known as Koshambi. His son will be celebrated as Chitrarat, and the son of Chitrarat will be Suchirat. From Suchirat will come a son named Vristiman, and his son, Susain, will be the emperor of the entire world. So this is the future. He's speaking of the future already. The sons of Susaina will be Sunita, and his son will be Nrichakshu, and from Nrichakshu will come a son named Sukinal. The son of Sukinal will be Pariplav, and his son will be Sunanya. From Sunanya will come a son named Medavi, from Medavi Nripanjai, from Nripanjai Durva, from Durva Timi, from Timi Badra Brihadrat, from Brihadrat Sudas, from Sudas Satanik, from Satanik will Durmanana, from him will come a son Mahinar. The son of Mahinar will be Dandapani, and his son will be Nimi, from whom the king Chemaka will be born. I have now described to you the moon god's dynasty, which is the source of the Brahmins and Kshatriyas and is worshipped by demigods and great saints. In this Kali Yuga, Chemaka, will be the last monarch. Now I shall describe to you the future of the Magadha dynasty. Please listen. Sahadeva, the son of Jarasandha, will have a son named Marjari. From Marjari will come Shrutashrav, Shrutadrav, Yutayu. From Yutayu, Niramitra, the son of Nirmarita, will be Sunakchatra. From Sunakchatra will come Brihatsena. From Brihatsena, Karmajit, the son of Karmajit, Sitanjaya. From the son of Sitanjaya, Vipra, and his son will be Suchi. The son of Suchi will be Chema. The son of Chema will be Suvrata. The son of Suvrata, Dharmasutra. From Dharmasutra, Sama. From Sama, Dumatsena. From Dumatsena, Sumati. And from Sumati, Subal. From Subal, Sunita. From Sunita, Satyajit. From Satyajit, Vishvajit. From Vishvajit, Rupunjay. All these personalities will belong to the dynasty of Brihadrata, which will rule the world for 1,000 years. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 9th chapter, 22nd chapter, 9th canto, 22nd chapter, Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Descendants of Ajamita. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Thank you very much.